So we are in a series called the Encouragement Series. It's about encouragement. And this is the second Sunday. Last Sunday, we dealt with the word parakaleo. Now, it's a Greek word, and I didn't expect you to know what it meant, but it means to come alongside of someone. And there are two words here that we're going to talk about today. One is this word right here. And we looked at all of these different nuances of that particular word last week. We looked at the exhorting, the comforting, the imploring, the urging, the encouragement, the begging, the pleading, the inviting. All those words are part of that, depending on the context, depending on where it's used and how it's used in the sentence. Okay? So this word happens to be a verb. Now, I know you didn't come here to hear your English lesson, but this is a verb. The word that sits next to it is a noun, and it's the same word, only with a different ending on it, okay? So when we talk about another word, a noun word, all the words we're going to use today up here are branches of this particular word, okay? So we're going to talk about this. Encouragement is this statement right here. It is the courage and confidence in God. Encouragement gives gives courage and confidence in God. That's what we saw last week. That's what the word parakaleo means, and it comes in a number of different nuances. And so, we think about this, and we think about the fact that we are encouraged by God, and He wants us to do that. He wants us to have courage to believe in Him. He wants us to have confidence in Him. And then I was reflecting on this. I thought, well, Hebrews 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hope or faith is having confidence in God and having courage to move according to what God has asked us to do. So encouragement improves or develops faith, doesn't it? So if those two things go together and we know that faith is necessary to please God, therefore encouragement and faith are going hand in hand. They work together. And because God is pleased when we encourage one another to have confidence and courage in God, then we understand that God is in the process. So God is the source of all comfort. He's also the source of all encouragement, because comfort is one of those words that comes out of parakaleo. Okay? So you could really substitute encouragement there, except for the fact that in these particular verses, it doesn't relate to it. It's not the nuance that's there. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is called something. And this is what it says. Yes, I am the one who comforts you. So it's saying there that God is a comforter. He is the one who brings comfort to us. So why are you afraid of mere humans who wither like the grass and disappear? Now, I want you to hang on to that idea, because that idea is one that what we see around us is not what really is going on. He's saying, I'm the one who comforts you. Why are you afraid of the people you can see? Don't be afraid of those people, okay? Because I'm the one who is over top of those people. In the New Testament, this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He's the source. He is the place where it comes from. He encourages it. He encourages the faith that we have. And so how does he do that? Well, in the book of 2 Corinthians, it's told us that he encourages us by changing our focus. He changes our focus. So it says here, that is why we never give up. So Paul and his companions are saying, we don't give up. We don't get discouraged. We keep moving along. We don't do that because, though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, our bodies are dying. Didn't anybody ever feel that way? Our bodies are not the same as they were 10 years ago, okay? And I know some of you young people are saying, what are you talking about? Well, you'll find out. You'll find out. It says, our bodies are dying, but our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Amen to that. Yet they will produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them, and they will last forever. The glory will last forever. And we don't look at our troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So what's he doing? He's saying, we have a problem. We tend to fix our eyes on the things that are going on today. So how was your week? How was your week? Was it one of those weeks where you kind of growled at everybody that came in the door? Or was it one of those weeks where you kind of were up all week, you had a good week? Or is your week reflected by the weather? So when it's cold outside and it's nasty outside, we get down. Look at what he says here. The things we can see are short-lived. They will soon be gone, and the things we cannot see will last forever. He's saying the things that are not visible are the things that really, really will matter. So I want to take you back to one of these illustrations I've used many times here, okay? And I want you to go to this line around the room where the ceiling matches the wall. There's a line that goes all the way around this room, okay? And on that line is made up, in mathematics, is made up of a bunch of little dots, okay? So if you were to put a pencil point on that dot and pick your own, I don't care where yours is at, okay? But that pencil point on that line is your life. That's your 70 years, your 90 years, your 120 years, whatever it is. That's your life. A pencil point. And the rest of that line is the forever of your life. Forever. And he's saying, don't focus on the things you can just see now, because that's only just an itty-bitty part of all of your life that you're going to enjoy. So don't focus on that. He says, that's why we don't give up, because this life is not there, all there is. And the little things that we struggle with, the little things that we're frustrated with, they are just going to be here for a little bit. They're just kind of like a little dog nipping at your heels, and you just kind of brush them away, because eventually they're going to go away. So we see that God is the God of comfort, but God is also the God who promises encouragement to us. Aren't you thankful that he does this, that he encourages us with his promises? We sang songs today about the fact that God doesn't change, that his promises will always be there. And so this is one of his promises out of Jeremiah 29:11. This is a very familiar promise. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And you say, well, I wish he'd told me that 2 months ago when the disaster occurred. But you have to understand where this verse comes from. This verse comes out of the book of Jeremiah. And this is a promise to a people who have been in disaster for 70 years. Okay? They have been captured and taken to someplace else, not their home anymore. And this is what he says to them after those 70 years. He says, look, I have plans for you, and they're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, some of those people were old this time. And he said, I'm going to give you a future. But what about all the stuff in the past? Remember what said in 1 Corinthians? It said that what we've gone through is just a little bit. The future and hope is not just now. The future and hope is yet to come. The things that he has for us are not limited to this life. Says in Isaiah 41:10, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. This is a favorite verse of mine. It's a favorite verse. Whenever I'm afraid, this is the verse I go to. Whenever I'm under the pile, this is the verse I go to. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am always with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. He says, I will help you. Have you ever thought and understood that God is your helper? He's the person that comes alongside you. He's the person who walks beside you, who strengthens you, who lifts you up when you can't walk anymore, and then puts you down and lets you walk. He enables you to keep going. He is your helper. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. He is a winner. He's a winner all the time. He just doesn't come at Super Bowl time. He's not just here when your team wins. He's the winner of everything. And he's the one who's on your side walking beside you. That's the promise that God gives to us. And those promises are encouraging. They're the things that kind of pick us up and say, okay, I can do this. I can keep going. I can make it even when I'm struggling. Now, those two things, the comfort that we need from God and the encouragement that we need from God, those are things that we love to listen to, but the next one you're not going to like so much, okay? This one has to do with the fact that God is encourages us through discipline. Now, this is a particular passage we're going to work through, Hebrews 12:5, and it says, and you have forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as a children. Have you forgotten the encouraging words? Now, understand, these are the encouraging words. So this is the encouraging word. He said to you, my child, don't take lightly the Lord's discipline. That's an encouraging word. And don't give up when he corrects you. That's an encouraging word. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And as you endure divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as he treats his own children. Discipline is encouragement. Now, understand there's a difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline is training and teaching. It's when he comes alongside, you've made a mistake, and he says, well, let me show you how this works. And then you show him how to do it. I was working with a young man in my shop the other day. He wanted to build a shelf for his mom. And so we were out there, and I instructed him on the cutoff saw. And I said, you see this red bar right here? This is where your fingers don't go. And I said, and then so we instructed him on how to lay out a line and how to put a pencil point where you're marking at it. And so he's working on it, and he does it wrong the first time. And I said, no, we do it like this. And we go back, and we instructed him on how to do it correctly. You see, God is instructing us. Discipline is instruction and training in how we're supposed to do these things. But then he also has the idea that he punishes each child that is his own. Yeah. And so punishment is to allow the consequences of our actions to rest on our lives. That's what punishment is. To allow the consequences of our actions to rest on our lives. So every sin has a consequence. Has a consequence. And God is not above letting the sin rest on your life. Why? Because when the sin and the consequence rest on your life, you turn back toward the one who loves you. And you say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It moves us backwards. Even all of us who are parents, we all remember what it was to discipline our children, to train them, to teach them. But we also remember what it was like to punish them. And the punishment was intended for what purpose? To turn them back to what was right. To turn them back to looking at us. God's is the same way. It's the same absolute way. And then look at what it says at the end. As you endure the divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as one of his own children. And it goes on and says, if you do not have any discipline or punishment in your life, you better be asking this question. Am I really a child of God? So if you don't have any, you ought to ask the question, who is Jesus to me really? Do I really believe in him? Am I really his child? Because if you don't have it, Hebrews would say, you better ask that question. So as we look about that, this is what it says in verses just above this, in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, God's encouragement to us, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Strip off those things that weigh you down. Now, I think there's two different ideas going on here. One of them is sin. Sin definitely weighs us down. And God would say to us, listen, sin is a big deal. We would say sin is not a big deal. But God would say, no, sin is a big deal, okay? So pay attention to what you're doing wrong and don't do it anymore. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery that the people brought to Jesus? and they were gonna stone her to death, and they said to him, "So what should we do?" And he sat down in the sand, and he started drawing in the dirt, and he said, "The one who has the first stone, he can cast the first has no sin can cast the first stone." What did he say to the woman after everybody had left? "Go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. Strip off the sin that so easily trips us up." Remember that statement we were making earlier in the last series? We talked about, we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's how you strip it off. "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation, but be there when I need you so that I can escape this temptation, so I will not go down a road that I shouldn't go down." Strip off that which easily trips you up and the weight that slows you down. Now, weight that slows you down can also be something else, okay? It can be the affairs and the things of this world that we focus our eyes on so much. Maybe God's saying, you need to get rid of some stuff. Maybe he's saying you need to get rid of some activities in your life that are taking the place of me in your life. I don't know what all those weights are, but weights are not necessarily sins. They're just good things that are good, but they're not what God wants you to be doing. And so if they're not what you should be doing something else, then it should be set aside. What are the weights that slow us down? And so here he's encouraging us with really what I would call an exhortation, a truth that we need to listen to because it's sometimes hard to listen to. And then he also encourages us this way. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort in his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Each one of those questions is a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. Is there encouragement in Christ? Yes. Is there any comfort in his love? Yes. Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Yes. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Yes. Then he says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Does that mean we have to all agree about the same thing? No. He's saying we can work together to agree, or we can agree to disagree, but we still get along. We love one another. That means we take one other person and we take their needs above our own. We work together with one mind and one purpose. One mind and one purpose. What is the purpose of the church, by the way? The purpose of the church is to share the love of Jesus Christ and his gospel with the people that are around us who don't know Jesus. That's the first purpose. Second purpose is to teach and to train every believer so we build up one another every week we're together. We build ourselves up, build other people up with the way we treat them, with the encouragement we give them. That's what the purpose it is. That's the one mind and one purpose. We're reaching out and reaching in, reaching out and reaching in. That's what we're about. Anything less than that is not the purpose of God. It's not about building buildings, okay? It's not about having more things. It's about the people that we're around that they may know. And how do we do that? Well, we're not selfish. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. And don't look out for your own interests alone, but take an interest in others too. Consider the interests and the needs of other people as more important than yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but when I walk through all those things as I was reading these things and studying them, the question that came to my mind is, man, I don't know how to do this. I don't know that I can do this, okay? And that's why when Jesus lived on this earth, he gave us a promise. And this is the promise. The Holy Spirit will be your encourager, okay? And he told us in this particular verse, Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each one of them." So I want you to think with me a minute. God here promises to what? make his home with you. Now, God is made up of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, okay? So when he promises to make his home with us, he's saying that he's there, Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that in a believer, every believer has got the Holy Spirit who lives within them. He's at home within you. He is God's presence within you. He is God within you. Because God is not three. God is one God in three persons. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit lives within us, God himself is resident within us. He lives within us. And then it goes on and says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. But I'm telling you these things now that while I am still with you, so Jesus is with them at this time, physically present with them, but he says, when I leave, the Father will send the Advocate. Now, I've underlined the Advocate because this is the word that I told you about. This is the word parakaleo in a noun form. That's what that is. The Advocate is to call someone alongside of you. That's the word. God calls someone to walk alongside of you. The Advocate. He's an intercessor. He's one who prays for you. He is the one who teaches you. Notice what it says. He is my representative. It is the Holy Spirit lives within us. He will teach you everything. He will teach you everything. Have you ever wondered, as you read your Bible, why some verses stick out and others don't? That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. When you hear that voice and the verse on the page kind of steps out of the page and says, you kind of hear that voice that says, this is what you need to know today. That's his voice. He's teaching you. And it says he will remind you of everything I have told you. He only speaks what God tells him to speak, and he teaches us what Jesus has already taught us. He is a teacher. He's an advocate for us. He is an intercessor. It says in Romans that when we are so weak, we don't know how to pray, he prays with words that are only words that he understands and the Father knows. He speaks to the Father's Spirit, and he intercedes for us when we can't speak. You see, he is our great encourager. The Holy Spirit lives within us. He comes alongside us. He is our comforter. He is the one who gives the promises and brings the promises to pass. He is the one who disciplines us. He is the one who allows the punishment to fall on our lives. But then he comes back inside and he encourages, he exhorts us. He keeps us walking with him throughout our lives. God is our great encourager. So, like I said at the beginning, I don't know where your life was this week. I don't know how it went, okay? I can only tell you that my life had some ups and downs this week. But the thing I found was God's encouragement was present throughout the week. You know, I want to encourage you, when you leave this service, to think and listen to what God's saying to you about how to encourage other people. Encourage someone today. Next week, I'd like to have an opportunity, and someone brought this to my attention. This says we could have a place, someplace in the service, maybe once in a while, where we could say, you know, I was encouraged this week, and we won't use names, but we're going to use stories. And I'm not telling you who's going to speak, because I don't know. But I want to have a time next week where we can say, this is how God encouraged me this week. Maybe two or three people. You're just going to stand up. We'll bring a mic to you, and you can just share. This is how God encouraged me. Like I said, I don't want names. I don't want a name of who did it or what was going on, because I don't want to elevate anybody. I just want to elevate our God and how he encourages us every week. So as you go through this week, as you are starting to be the encouragement to the people that are around you and people are encouraging to you, would you please just kind of maybe ask God if there's a story he wants to have relayed to everybody to say, oh, look, God is encouraging us. How better to have that happen than for us to say, yeah, let me say something. God encouraged me this week by a person who came up to me and did this or said this or however it is. So would you pray as we close this message? Father God, you are our great encourager. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming alongside each one of us. And when we are out of bounds, you bring us back in. You train us. Lord, you also allow the consequences of our actions to fall on our heads. But you are merciful towards us, and you offer us grace. And you give forgiveness to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a great and merciful God. You are our strength. You are our help in times of trouble. You are the one who reminds us that it's not the things on this earth that matter. It's the things that are coming that matter. You remind us that it's not the things we have, but the relationships we have with people that matter. Father, I pray this week that you would lay on our hearts, lay on our minds right now, a name of a person that we are to talk to this week. Lord, there are people that need to be encouraged. So, Father, would you give us a name or a couple names that we're supposed to talk to, we're supposed to pray for this week as we build up one another, as we become your encouragers, your hands and feet to the people that are around us. Father, would you remind us that you are faithful? You always are faithful to us. Thank you for your encouragement in our lives. In Jesus' name.